I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Planta.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, December 7th, 2015.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So last week we talked about dating websites, and I got a bit of response from people about the stuff we talked about. And I realized, looking back at what we were talking about, I don't know if I really made it clear what, because Tinder is not really a dating website, it's a hookup site. I mean, that's something, if you want to get laid, that's what you sign up to, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but there are dating websites, and there are a number of them that we see ads on, you know, watch sports or on TV.
Oh, they're everywhere.
You get your Match.com.
Oh God. Okay. So there's Match.com. There's eHarmony.
Yeah. Plenty of Fish.
Plenty of Fish. There's Christian Mingle. Good old Christian Mingle.
So you have to be a Christian to go on there. Is that the deal?
I think the assumption is that you are Christian, but
what if you're a Jew that just likes Christians?
I think that's discriminatory if they would say no Jews allowed. That's kind of rude.
Yeah, or atheists or whatever.
Yeah, you know. But it's possible. I personally have never, I've never perused Christian Mingle.
You ever want to date a Jew? Because I'm sure there's a Jewish one, right?
I don't think I'd mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known some, like, pretty cool Jewish people.
Yeah, Ancestry.ca, that's another one, is it?
Ancestry.ca, that's if you're trying to date your cousin, maybe.
Yeah. It's other than, I guess it's a carbon dating website.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so
seniorpeoplemeet.com.
Yeah. Well, sorry, what was it called?
Seniorpeoplemeet.com.
So that's old people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a dating site for every genre type person out there.
You know, I had a guest on the show recently, and they were talking about seniors dating.
Mm.
And I guess there's a story online about this phenomenon. Is that because seniors are single and they want to mingle?
Exactly.
There's been a rise in sort of STDs in that demographic. So
I've heard.
So grandma's getting laid, and she's also getting whatever.
Isn't that so irresponsible of them?
I guess
it's really
they
quite reckless.
Well, I guess they think because they don't use protection because, well, they're not, the chances of them getting pregnant are nil.
Okay, but come on, Grandma, let's be realistic here. You know the risk. Jesus. Like, what, because now you're, like, old and you can just be completely out of control? That's just irresponsible. Just, what are they causing? This is, because they can't get pregnant, they can just throw all caution to the wind.
But, you know, I was thinking, like, before even AIDS, in the 60s and earlier, the 40s, 30s, or whatever, they had STDs and things like that, didn't they?
They were probably even worse.
Yeah, like the clap and things like that?
Exactly, you know. They're just, that's why I say, they're being careless. It's really rude and belligerent what they're doing right now, just blatantly being. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they just figure it's like their last leg of life, just live it up, you know, YOLO, you only live once, and it's almost over, might as well die with an STD, right?
So I'm curious to know what the conversations would be for, like, say, I don't know, a kid and their parent, or...
Right, you know, their daughter, their adult child taking them to the doctor, like, Mom, seriously? Another STD? Get your life together.
Excuse me.
You know.
I snorted on the ear. Never done, 11 and a half years I've never done that.
Well, when you're talking about grandparents with STDs, it's a little snort-worthy, I would think.
I would think so, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'd be embarrassed. I would not, you know. I'd have to have a real sit-down discussion. Mind you, I wouldn't expect that from my grandparents. My grandma's a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Retired now. But I'd expect a lot better from her.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Your mom's a nurse too, isn't she?
My mom did work in the, she wasn't a nurse, but she did work in the hospital. She still works in healthcare.
Yeah. So she's.
And I would also hope that she would be as responsible. same with, you know, getting, you know, it's, let's move forward from this.
Well, just one let's dwell on one aspect of that. Do you think it's just a guy thing? The guys are irresponsible.
Well, it's coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, these grandmas are having relations with somebody. It's definitely not all the ladies. It's the guys, too.
Yeah.
And that's just, I don't know what they're doing or where they're doing it. But maybe they need to start, you know, reintroducing sex education for, you know, over 60.
Sex for seniors.
Definitely. Things must change after a certain age, I'm sure. They need to be up to date on the new STDs and the ways to catch them. Unless you've forgotten, you can still get this by having sex. In case they forgot, they may have.
So you're not against old people having sex in general then, right? Because some people find it weird, right? Some people find
whatever. Live their lives. They are not dead.
Yeah.
But just, like, let's, again, be responsible.
So we were also talking about Tinder, and you've had experience because someone you know uses it.
Yeah.
So I guess Tinder, you would see the age of the person on there, would you?
Well, yeah, it's on there, but, you know, people always lie. People can lie.
People lie on the internet? You're kidding.
I know, that blows me away, but it happens. It happens, yes. And it's not ever surprising. Like I said, when I'm Tindering it up for my friend at work here, I'm usually shocked by, like, some of the ages these women say they are. I look at them, I'm like, there's no way. Like, you look older than me. No way you're 28. If you're 20, you're like, you've lived a rough life, girl. You know? So I quite enjoy going through these pics that, I quite enjoy going through these selections that he has. I find it hilarious.
I guess the expectation is when you're on Tinder, because there's a story that appeared in the news in the last month or so. About, I guess, the expectations that people have when they, I guess, get a match or whatever you call it on that website.
Right.
So there's a story in England, in Islington, England, where a woman named Lauren Crouch, I guess, went to coffee with a date. She's 28.
Uh-huh.
And she goes to coffee with this fellow that they met on Tinder. And, he bought the coffee, is that right?
That is right.
So £3.50 is what he paid for the coffee.
Right.
And so I guess in the course of their coffee meeting or coffee date, he invites her to his house to cook, or he'll make her dinner.
For dinner,
that's
right.
Code, I guess, right?
Well, probably for him. I think her code was by Felicia.
Yeah. And so what happens? A few days later, he texts her and says, I'm trying to find the story here. He says, do you want to meet up again?
Yeah, he's pretty much trying to ask her out for another date. And, you know, she's like, sorry, it doesn't work. She's just like, you know, we don't have any chemistry. Take care. You know, that's fine for like, okay, great, we're done. Move on with your life. We shouldn't be speaking again.
So then, so then his text back is, okay, fair enough. Can you pay me back for your coffee? I don't like wasting money. Prefer to use it on a date with someone else. What would you say if you got a text like that after a coffee date?
See, like, I was kind of even taken aback when I read the article myself. I'm like, okay, like, that's so weird. Can you pay me back for your coffee? I don't like wasting money. My first instinct would be to reply, I don't like wasting time. And you were a waste of my time. So let's just call it a day. We're even. That would be my initial reply.
But hers was a little more polite than yours, right?
Yeah, because, you know, most normal people think about their responses before they send them. I usually don't. If I got something like that, that would be my response. You wasted my time. You're asking for $3.50 back. So rude, because you don't like wasting money. Give me a break. I wouldn't want to date somebody that finds $3.50 too much to put out as on a date. Give me a break. It's $3.50.
Well,
£3.
I think he was not that I'm defending him, but just to play devil's advocate.
I guess
because he was on Tinder, the expectation was that he was going to get some. He didn't. And so he'd like the money spent on the coffee back.
He maybe shouldn't even have spent money on coffee then, if that was his intention, was just to get some. He could have done that without spending the $3.50.
So if you go out on a first date, say,
mm-hmm.
do you expect the fellow to buy you the coffee or whatever, the dinner?
No. That's just my own personal thing.
Yeah.
Well,
what do women expect generally?
It depends. I know some girls that are like, no, you shouldn't pay for anything, and he should be paying for that, he should be this. But, I figure if I'm going out with somebody for the first time, I don't know them, he doesn't know me, and I personally am just not, I don't want any kind of connotation of some sort of expectation at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would much rather come prepared to, pay for my own meal. And as a woman, you should always be prepared for that, right?
Hmm.
It's equal and it's fair. You have to be able to take care of yourself. What if your date doesn't show up?
Yeah.
You should be able to, have yourself a nice dinner still. What if he turns out to be a total loser? You should have money to take a cab home or get out of there ASAP,
So should
Those
she?
Are just some things.
Yeah. So should she have offered to reimburse him nonetheless, even if he didn't ask?
No. I'd probably. I'm different though. Who knows? I'd be able to look at somebody within the first 5 minutes and be like, oh yeah, I'm probably not going to like this guy. I'll pay for my own coffee just so that something like this doesn't happen. Or maybe halfway through the date, if she realized they weren't going to go out again, I don't know, maybe she could have offered to buy him the next coffee,
Yeah.
Or maybe offered, I don't know what she could have done, but I'm telling you, my response, what mine would have been, it wouldn't have been like hers.
Well, yeah, so Lauren's response to this fellow was, it's a shame you consider a date to be a waste when it doesn't end on your terms. How about I donate the £3.50 to a charity of your choice to give you a chance to regain some decorum? I can even bump it up to £5 to cover your bus journey too, if you'd like. Might I be so bold as to suggest the Royal British Legion, as it was Armistice Day yesterday, I guess November the 11th.
Right.
And his response was, I'd like to decide myself what to do with my money. Please pay me back into my bank account. He sends his account information, expecting her to wire the money to him.
Yeah, that's really awkward. Because I don't come with a money-back guarantee, says Lauren.
So what do you think this says about...
What it says is this is exactly why more women are remaining single. This is why, okay? People are messed up. Those are not even the words I'd like to use, but Lord have mercy. People are crazy. I've always said I'm going to write a book of all the dating stories I've heard. Crazy first dates, friends that have met. I have a friend who's, she went through a period where she met, was going on like many dates from Match.com.
Yeah.
Mostly Match.com because we had gone through, she'd say we, her, but we go through this together as women.
Yeah.
So she went through the Plenty of Fish thing and then she wanted to get, a bit more serious. So she moved on to Match.com
And just before you continue on your friend's story here, Plenty of Fish, I've heard of that because some people I know at work have signed on to that. That's a free service, is it?
It is.
So Match.com, you said more serious, because you have to pay now?
Match.com, you have to pay. And even I think with Plenty of Fish, there are some services on there that you can pay for, but, I mean, you know, come on. Essentially, it's free, right?
Okay. So
I'm assuming most of the people that use it are using the free service.
All right. So your friend decides to go to Match.com to become more serious in this. Yeah.
So she meets this guy on there and goes out with him. She's had a couple of doozies. Two in particular I can remember. This one in particular went out on a date with him, and she said the date was kind of going, it was kind of okay. They went out for dinner, and they were eating dinner. I think the appetizers had just come.
Yeah.
And then they started talking about where they worked. And she mentioned that she had worked for ICBC. And this obviously set him into some sort of rage because apparently the week before he had just gotten some fine from ICBC.
Yeah, so for people listening to us out of British Columbia, ICBC is the auto insurance agency here.
Right.
That if you want to drive, you pay into the... It's public insurance, essentially, for your car. And, so he got fined by ICBC, and he doesn't like them, I guess. Is that the deal?
No, basically the point is he doesn't like them. So he's got an axe to grind with them, and now his date works for them. So he is essentially, in his mind, eating with the enemy.
Well, if you went out with a guy and you found out he was with ISIS, wouldn't you have the same reaction?
It's different. Oh, my God. But he, needless to say, they stayed at dinner for longer than was necessary because he didn't want to pay for the dinner, which... She didn't mind paying, but she said she knew he was just doing that because of where she worked. And he was fighting with her over dinner about his fines and how horrible ICBC is. And, and then he also mentioned that he had an ex-wife and he wanted to get her address and phone number and wanted to see if she could get that
from her because she works at ICBC?
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, and then she also, you know, declined that because... She can lose her job.
Yeah.
And he was totally crazy. So he didn't want to pay for dinner. And then, so they sat there and sat there until he paid. And then at the end of it all, she said he was pretty much, he just left. He was like, okay, nice seeing you. Bye.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, he bye Felicia'd her. So that was a doozy.
Yeah, it sounds uncomfortable. I mean, for your friend, it must have been.
Yeah, it was. She wasn't happy, but you know, she's had some doozies. I mean, that was just one of many. I personally, like I was saying to you, I just can't do it. I've got no time.
Yeah.
For this rigmarole, they call this dating thing.
But even if she's had bad experiences, I'm sure she's still doing it. Is she?
Well, I know she'll still peruse the site.
Yeah.
But I know she hasn't, like, actually been out with anyone yet. It's like going for auditions, right? Every time you go out on a date with somebody you don't know, it's like an audition. And you'll get rejected, and then, you know, you got to build yourself up again. I don't know what it's like for guys, but for girls, I guess that's what it's like. I personally, I don't do dating sites. And I don't meet people off dating sites, so.
Because I've never used a dating site, and I'm just curious to know how this all works, how the customs work, I guess, in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
If let's say I had to go to a family thing this Christmas, or a friend thing this Christmas, or a company thing this Christmas, would a dating site be appropriate for me to sign up on and find someone to take to that, say?
Probably not.
But there are people that I'm sure do that, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, though?
Yeah, I guess it would be hard enough just to try to get to know someone and then have to do that in the setting, whether it's the family, the friends, or the workplace.
God. Yeah, like, seriously, actually, that just reminded me. I went to this event last year.
Yeah.
It was lots of people, not work people. But this guy had literally just met this woman on a dating site, like maybe a week or so prior. And he brought her to this event, and you could tell they clearly did not know each other very well. She was at the table talking to all of us about her ex-husband and their upcoming trip together to Mexico.
With the ex-husband?
With the ex-husband, because they apparently just broke up. Just broke up, and they had these tickets bought together, and they couldn't. She couldn't back out of it, so they have to go together.
Huh.
And so she's now with this new guy at the event who brought her there, and they were in the hot tub and just being, like, completely inappropriate. And it was like...
Like PDA?
Yeah, totally. Huh. And it's like everybody knows, because she was going around telling everybody that she was going to Mexico next weekend with her ex-husband, and then they see her in the hot tub with this. It was just completely awkward, and it's like, you know, it looked like we were saying, buddy, did you, like, just call some girl to come hang out here with you? Just, like, it makes you look really desperate. You know, not a good look.
Where do you meet these people, Jackie?
Unfortunately, these are at professional events. I know, it's shocking. I'm embarrassed. That's why I won't even say where it was.
So, I mean, so most people, you know, get turned off the whole dating thing because they've had bad experiences, and I guess are bad experiences or I guess time for you is the essence, right? You just don't have
it's
the time.
Time.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm pretty specific. I know what I want. I don't really have time to look around. You know, it's like, you know, like if you're looking, like, actually right now I'm looking for a pair of boots, right? I know exactly what I want. So there's no point going in a bunch of stores and trying on a bunch of shit that I don't really want. I may end up picking something I don't really need, right?
Yeah, but a pair of boots is different than, say, like, dating or a partner, isn't
it? No, it's not. No, it's actually quite similar. And I just gave you a comparison. Yeah, you shop around too much, you're going to probably pick something, and you're just going to settle with something. Just because you get tired of looking, right? I know exactly what I'm looking for and what I need, and when that store comes along, I will go into it.
So some people think it's a very cynical way of looking at a relationship, though.
So, and, yeah, I agree, it could be. But, yeah. Again, too, I don't have the time, and I'm not interested in wasting time with people. I quite enjoy my time alone. So if I don't have to needlessly waste time with somebody that I don't genuinely enjoy being with, then I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, just between the two of us, I'm the hopeless romantic, I guess.
Are you really?
Well, I just find...
What are you waiting for?
I just find it... you seem more cynical, maybe, but more practical, and I guess I'm just looking for the mystery of it all.
Yeah.
But I'll get over it, I'm sure.
Yeah, one day. I mean, you know, maybe you've never had anyone crush your soul yet.
Probably not, no.
That's what it is.
That's the subject of your next book, too, I guess, right?
I think it probably my memoir.
Yeah. What, I'm sure where you work, you have a company Christmas party, so you're obviously not going to go on Tinder or Match.com to find a plus one for that.
Oh, not this time.
What do you do then for the plus one if you have to do that either it's a company Christmas party or a friend thing or a family thing? You just go alone?
Yeah, you know what? Usually I bring my kids as my plus one. If it's not a child event though,
yeah,
it'll be like one of my friends. Quite usually, girlfriends.
Yeah.
I usually, I mean, I have a multitude of friends that love to go to these things with me with plus one.
Yeah, now here's a question, because I mean I don't mind bringing other people, but let's say if someone asked me to go to their work thing, I would just not want to do that.
No.
No. I mean, do you go to friends' work things? Or?
Well, you know, my friend, actually, one of my friends just invited me to, she invited me to her work Christmas party.
Yeah.
And it was really nice.
See, because I don't know anybody there, and I mean, usually the friends that I know aren't in the same sort of work that I am in, so
right.
I would think it'd be just a pain in the ass to have to introduce myself to every single person that I would run into at a thing like that.
No, I didn't introduce myself to everybody. She tried to.
Yeah.
But thankfully, they weren't a very chatty group. It's an insurance company. So, yeah. Funny enough, these people weren't very chatty. So it's like, you know, it was a quick, oh, hello, nice to meet you, handshake, moving on, you know. So it wasn't too bad.
Well, we also hear of company Christmas parties, especially where it goes sideways. And, you know, the people can act inappropriately, and some people can get fired at the end of the thing, and the sort. I mean, you must have heard of that too, right?
For sure. I'm sure. Yeah, you never don't ever drink at a Christmas party, at your work Christmas party.
But here's the thing, why do they offer booze then, if you were not supposed to?
To see who takes the offer and who slips up. It's all a test. As long as you're on the company's time, you're doing the test. Don't feed into it. As soon as you sit, like, you have one drink and your lips start to get a little loose, it's not good.
You're dancing on the table with a lampshade on your head.
You never know how that party could end. Looking like Lorraine from Elaine from
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I love Seinfeld.
Yeah. What else are you watching on TV? By the way, I saw this hashtag last night on Twitter, 90 Day Fiancé. Did you see any of that?
Oh, right. Yeah, well, of course. It's actually, I watched it today.
Uh-huh.
I kind of love 90 Day Fiancé.
Is that a new show?
Thing. It's weird. You know what? It's been around for a while, actually, but it comes on, like, you know, there's a season.
Yeah.
It's like once a year, but I think it's been on, I don't know how many years now. I've seen two seasons of it so far. Basically, it's people falling in love with somebody from another country and bringing them to the U.S. on a K, I think it's like, I can't remember what K what visa.
Oh, okay, so yeah, so you're married already or not?
No, you're not.
So okay,
you're bringing them here.
Like a test deal.
Yeah, and then you have 90 days to decide if you're going to marry this person or not.
Hmm.
And so basically this show is them documenting the 90 days.
And quite then, interesting. And I'm sure these things go haywire.
Some of them do.
Yeah.
So far, everybody has gotten married in all the episodes I've seen. Of course, nobody wants to go back home though, right?
Yeah, do they stay married, though?
That's the question. Some of them do. There's been some episodes where they won't even come back for the update.
Huh.
I'm assuming they're either, like, divorced or going through some problems.
Yeah, that was one documentary we were talking about just before we started that I did an interview on a couple of years ago called Father Figures.
Right.
April Butler and Jillian Rankowski, which people, if they want to look at it, they go to the Knowledge Network site or TVO, and they can watch it there.
Mm-hmm.
And she documented, April Butler did, her father wanting to marry this girl from the Philippines, and her getting to know the girl and all the drama surrounding that. And I guess, yeah, at the end of the film, we don't really know what happens because he and the bride don't want to participate anymore. I thought when you did reality shows like that, you were committed to having to come back.
I thought so too. Like, aren't you under contract? You're
yeah.
under contract.
Yeah.
But maybe they allow that for, like, the drama aspect.
Hmm. Yeah, because I mean, a lot of those. I remember when I used to watch The Apprentice. Even if they ran out of their crying, they still came back to talk about it, and they had to, I guess.
Yeah, they had to.
Yeah.
No, true, but that 90 Day Fiancé, totally weird. There was a girl on there, like we were talking about. She was also from the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
How old is she? 19. I was just trying to look up how old her husband is because,
yeah.
If I recall, I want to say 56.
Yeah, when I saw the pictures online, because some of them tweeted photos of the couple, he looked like an older fellow and she looked like she was 19, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. He is older and he has a daughter that's 21, so older than his wife.
Huh.
His previous wife was also from the Philippines. And she decided one day, basically, that she did not want to be married to him. This girl is 19, and he has grown kids. He's told her he's, like, not interested in having children. Which is so unfair, I think, to her, you know, being 19.
Huh. So this it sounds exactly like the father figures documentary, and it becomes a question then. Why is she with this fellow, and is it only because she wants the opportunity to live in another country other than her own?
Right. You know, it's kind of sad, too, though. She's leaving her family, she's leaving everything to be with this man.
Yeah.
Who's, I don't know.
You know, for a lot of the same thing in, I don't know if it's the same thing in 90 Day Fiancé, but in Father Figures, I think she was happy to leave the Philippines because there just wasn't the opportunity for her that she would have if she didn't marry
right.
this guy.
Fair enough.
I mean, that's something that you and I probably don't understand because we've grown up here, right?
Right. And that's kind of what I'm trying to understand. I'm, like, trying to put myself in that mindset, maybe. She's leaving something that's worse than what she's going to. I don't know. We can't speak to that, right? But,
yeah.
I mean, already at 19, she's saying she's going to move to the U.S. and not have children so that she can live a better life. That's crazy to me.
But, I mean,
I hope she can maybe see this differently one day as she gets older.
I'm trying to think of a circumstance that would be similar to that if it involved, say, those of us living here and having to, like, I mean, if you had to be forced to go to, say, Syria and marry someone at ISIS or something, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know, I keep thinking of ISIS for some reason.
What's
I don't know.
ISIS? They're well, going to mark your show.
You're
going to be marked. You've mentioned it, like, 5 times already.
Well, I think we're talking about ISIS a lot this year, aren't we?
Not cool.
There was a joke on SNL last night. I didn't watch it, but I saw it on Facebook.
Oh, it was hilarious, SNL last night.
That was Ryan Gosling, I guess?
Yeah.
The most popular baby name in America in 2015 was Sophia. Which was your daughter's name, right?
Yes.
The least popular is Isis Cosby.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that was hilarious. It was good last night.
Yeah. The other thing that I found odd, I saw that ad that they did, the Nespresso with George Clooney and Danny DeVito. They did a spoof on that. And so everyone was talking about that ad in the last couple of weeks because I guess it's just come out with Danny DeVito and George Clooney. And so they have two people on SNL playing Danny DeVito and George Clooney. And, you know, I see the SNL spoof and I think, you know, that's peculiar. I wonder what the real ad looks like. And then so I see the real ad, and it's exactly the same thing. So, you know, I just... I didn't get that part.
You didn't get it?
No. I mean, the ad is sort of amusing, but then I see the real one, and it's not that amusing. Because,
okay, no. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, sometimes I have to admit, SNL has lost a bit of it, you know.
Yeah, especially quarter to one in the morning. I mean, have you seen those skits are stupid, aren't they?
Some of them are pretty shitty.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, really? This is what you guys came up with? Who approved this?
I guess that shouldn't be a topic for the last minute of the show, our show, the last 5 minutes of SNL,
no,
should it?
I guess not. But, you know, I was going to say, when you were talking about ISIS,
yeah,
and Syria, when I was at this Christmas party the other day, it was at the Vancouver Yacht Club. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
So lovely. And this woman was sitting at the table, out of nowhere, decides to start talking about Syria and the refugees. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We're having this lovely dinner. What in God's name would possess you?
Well, I can understand why, because it's in the news and stuff, but I mean, was she for or against them coming to this country?
It sounded like she was against it.
Mm.
And it's just, you know, we're at a table. We don't know each other. She was also a guest, too, I have to add.
Yeah.
So it's not like she has to work with these people the next day, right?
Yeah.
I just thought it was an awkward place, time, and way to bring up something that heavy. And especially at such a, like, you know, really lovely event, nice Christmas party. We're all, you know, relaxed and having fun, and then it felt like a ton of bricks was just dropped on the table.
So that's Jackie's tip for Christmas party etiquette, not to bring up heavy subjects like Syria.
Just keep it easy.
Like the George Clooney, Danny DeVito Nespresso ad.
Something like that.
Yeah.
You know, nice things. Dating sites.
Yeah. Tinder.
Oh, so are you going to try it out?
No.
Never.
Try out Tinder? No. Why would I do that?
Well, you got to go on there and see. It's actually quite fun. Like I told you, the swiping, I enjoy that.
See, the thing is, I have a BlackBerry, and you can't get any apps at all.
Oh, right. You can't even swipe.
I can't even... Well, no, you can swipe on it. I mean,
That already makes you, like, ineligible.
Yeah, but, I mean, I could never use it for Uber. I can't even get Bejeweled on it, which I'd love to play Bejeweled.
Bejeweled is apparently your favorite game.
Yeah.
So, but why don't you upgrade and get a phone?
I just got a new BlackBerry, the newest BlackBerry, the BlackBerry Classic. I got this about a month ago, but when the last phone died.
There's no new BlackBerry. BlackBerries are horrid.
No, this is the new one. This is
You know what? I've known the only people that have BlackBerries are celebrities, and even then, they still have a BlackBerry and, like, another real phone.
Well, Barack Obama still uses it, so...
Oh, Barack. Okay, then you're good.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine until Trump becomes president, and I'll use whatever Trump uses.
Do you think it's going to happen?
No, but it's fun until it doesn't.
Oh, God. Could you imagine if Donald Trump was president?
I'll end on this. One of the stories that I found quite amusing was he had met with a bunch of religious people, and I think most of them were black reverends and the sort. And then I heard in the news report that the person chairing the event was Omarosa from the first season of The Apprentice.
Are you kidding me?
So just as we're wondering whatever happened to her, she's part of this.
Oh, don't worry. I was not wondering what happened to her.
Apparently she's some sort of reverend, and that's why she knew all the clergy that were there.
Yeah.
And I guess Trump was trying to get their endorsement, I guess. And
oh, God, she's horrid. That's really... Well, that's good. I'm glad that Trump was able to reuse her somehow.
Yeah, I think she probably wanted to be part of it more than I think he did. Maybe. I mean, he's got nothing to gain really from her being there.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
True enough.
But anyway, I'll talk to you next week.
That's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, December 7th, 2015.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Lanta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 days.